Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 24. And while you're turning, let me make mention of this Wednesday night. We have First Wednesday coming up. It's hard to believe it's already here again. But First Wednesday is this coming Wednesday. And we've got John Bevere in the house, and we are super excited about that. And honestly, you know, not just because John is here, but I've been praying a lot about that night, and I just believe it's going to be a special, special, special night where I think God's just going to show up in some big, big ways and change some things. Change some things in the atmosphere, change some things in the church, change some things in the city, but also change some things in your lives. And so I'd love to have you come out 7 o'clock Wednesday night. We are going to have an amazing time. We are in a series entitled Help, and we're covering things that people need help with, and a lot of people, let's be honest, are broke. They need help with their finances because things have gotten quite tight financially. And friend, I want you to know the struggle is real for all of us. At one time or another, I'm sure every single one of us in this room have faced financial difficulties where things got tight and things got tense. The good news is we have a God who affectionately cares for us. How many of you believe that today? God loves you. He cares for you. God is honestly obsessed with you. Like, I love my kids, but I don't know how many hairs they have on their head. Did you know that every single person in this room, God knows how many hairs you have on your head? For some of us, it is easier for him than others. Every one of us, our Father is not only deeply in love with us, but he knows every single detail of your life, and he wants to be a blessing to you. A couple of weeks ago, my wife was in the 5:30 service, and she came to me after the church service. She said, "Hey, God really spoke to me tonight." And I'm like, "Awesome, man. I knew I was preaching good. You know, I'm glad he spoke to me." She's like, no, it was during worship. I'm like, "Oh, okay." No, I'm kidding. She said, "During worship, I was praying, and the Lord spoke to my heart and showed me this young guy who's in our church. And he just put it so big in my heart to get him 6 shirts, and it was a nice brand of shirts, 6 shirts of this particular brand." And she said, "It's just big, like it's big in my heart to do it." I'm like, "Great, well, follow your heart and go for it." Well, she got the shirts, and we gave them to the gentleman, and with this, he's about 20, 21 years old, and he's looking at the shirts, and he's like, are you serious?" And we're like, yes. He's like, no, this is, like, amazing. He said, "Literally, a couple of days ago, I was praying and I told God, I need some new clothes for work. I need nice clothes. This is the nicest brand I know of, and I need 6 of these types of shirts." And yeah, isn't God awesome? Like, God is awesome. And it blessed me so much because, one, like, God knew what he needed. God wanted to get him the desires of his heart, and God also wanted him well taken care of, that it wasn't just an off-brand shirt. Nothing wrong with off-brand shirts, but God cared about the brand. Like, God cared about the desire of his heart, and that just impresses me so much about our Father, so much about our great God. He is a God who is madly in love with you, and he wants to be your source. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your good shepherd. If you saw, like, sheep out in, you know, the Middle East, and I've gone in the Middle East and actually seen shepherds and sheep, and you go out in the Middle East and see these sheep, they're, like, scrawny, like, there's no meat on their bones, like, just, you know, limping, you know, falling around them, and then you got this shepherd in front of them, you know, walking. Would you think they're a good shepherd or a bad shepherd? A bad shepherd. Like, a good shepherd's supposed to have good-looking sheep. Like, that's what makes him a good shepherd, and his sheep are richly provided for. And with this, Jesus, he is our good shepherd. He wants you to lie down in green pastures. He wants to lead you beside the still waters. He wants your cup to run over. He wants to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God wants to provide for you.
Like, seriously, I believe God wants to radically blow your mind with his provision. This year, I honestly believe God wants to do some things financially for us this year. And I don't know what that looks like. You know, I'm not saying it's just magically going to fall from heaven or a job or a better job or a raise or a bonus. I don't know how. And I don't know exactly when and those types of things, but I do know the heart of God. And the heart of God is to come into the lives of his children and be a good shepherd. And I want to put you in a position to have that happen in your life, because God does not want you living underneath the stress of not having enough. It's never been his will. All of Scripture proves it out. In the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, mankind was richly provided for. After the fall of man, the children of Israel, they're over in a captivity where they have less than enough, not enough. And living under the strain of having not enough, God raises up a deliverer by the name of Moses and says, come, you got to get out of this place. God wants to take you into a promised land, a land of more than enough, a place where provision flows in the land. Jesus comes on the scene in the book of Matthew, and he said, look, so many of you, you're stressed out. He said, you're just stressed out. And he said, you're taking all of this care, all of this worry, all of this thought about tomorrow, and here's the questions you're asking. What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to put on? What are we going to do financially? And Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Doesn't your father feed these birds? He said, look at the flowers of the field. Was even Solomon arrayed like unto one of these? If God so feeds the birds of the air, and if God so clothes the flowers of the field, will he not much more take care of you? I love the book of Luke. It says, fear not, little flock. It's like Jesus is getting sarcastic. It's like fear. I don't know if he was, but it sounds that way to me. Fear not, little flock. He's like, why are you so nervous? You have a good shepherd. Now, friend, here's what I want to encourage you to see God's provision. You need one key word. It's a huge word. You need trust. You have to trust God in this area of your life, not your job. Your job, it is not your source. Why don't you say that? Say, my job is not my source. Amen. Your job is not your source. Your boss is not your source. Your paycheck, not your source. You know who is your source? God is your source. In fact, why don't you say it? Say, God is my source. Come on, get sassy about it. Get sassy. Say, God is my source. Yes, he is. And he can flow through a job, he can flow through a cell, but none of those things are your source. They're just avenues that your great God can flow through. And if you're gonna see his abundant hand of provision in your life, you're going to have to trust him. In fact, you can just steal that phrase, God is my source. And whenever the financial pressure gets thick in your life, say, no, God, faithful you are, faithful you will forever be. God, you are my source. See, God needs that faith. In my life, there are different grace gifts that all of us have. Like, I'm good as a communicator. It comes natural to me, but I am terrible with my hands. Like, there are very few times in my life I've been cussed out. One of the times was when I worked construction, and I think I was like 14 years old, and I was working concrete, and my father wanted to teach me hard labor. So as soon as I could work, I was working. I worked as a janitor. I worked as a coffee maker. I worked as an ice cream worker. I worked in concrete, I worked in construction, all these types of things. So I get out there and I'm just not gifted with my hands. And with it, I'm smoothing out a driveway. So the driveway is freshly poured and I'm on the edges with this little floater type deal that kind of floats it out and makes it smooth on top and gets it that nice finish. And the guy across from me, he's this big guy. He's probably like 50 years old. And, you know, he doesn't like having a kid on the job. You can just kind of see it. And the only reason why I'm on the job is the guy who owned the company was doing my father a favor. I never once ever prayed for rain like I prayed for rain. Like, because I'd get picked up by this guy at like 4:30 in the morning. Because when it's hot, it's summertime. And, you know, I've got to do this in between school. So with this, my father taught me a good lesson. But with that, it's like 4:30 in the morning. I hear the horn honk. And it's like, oh, God. So I'd get in the truck and go to the site. It rained more that summer. God heard and answered a boy's prayers. Man, I'm like, it's gotta rain, Jesus. I want to stay home and play some video games. But with this, anyway, like I'm there, and he's like, you know, I had the floater, and he's on the other side, and this guy's like, throw me the floater. I'm like, no, I'll walk around. He's like, throw me the floater. I'm like, no, I'll walk around. He's like, throw me the floater. I take it, throw it, you know what happens? Lands right smack dab in the middle of the fresh driveway, man. It was a disaster. And I recognize my calling lies elsewhere. And if I didn't recognize it, he let me know that my calling lied elsewhere. So all of us have different callings, different graces. And the same thing is true spiritually. Like, we have different spiritual gifts that we operate in. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says there's spiritual gifts, and I need to teach on this more in our church. But it also says that these gifts are distributed to every man, so each of you has one, according severally as God wills. So all of us will flow in different giftings. Just like all of us have different physical giftings, all of us have different spiritual giftings. And he lists some of what these gifts are: the gifts of healing, working of miracles, the gift of faith, prophecy, which is just speaking unto exhortation and comfort, a word of wisdom, which deals with someone's future, or words of knowledge, which deals with someone's present or past. In my life, the gift of a word of knowledge is the gift that I feel like God flows through me best in. But it also happens to be very specific, and I think this is the case too. Like, I met this lady before who had a gift of healing, and she just had a gift of healing for ankles. Ankles. Like, she laid hands on people, they had ankle issues, they got healed. It was neat. So there are specific things that God uses and flows through. But with it, for me, a word of knowledge, whenever it generates in my life, it always seems like it's generally about financial things. So God will speak to my heart and have me help people with financial things. And a lot of times personally, but also corporately as a church, it's a gifting that's just kind of on this body and a gifting that's on this church. We give every month at least 10% over and above, but we also take the time to wait on the Lord, and we knock out specific needs by the Spirit of God. So much fun. But little things like this, there was a time I was upstairs in my, at that time it was my office, now it's my daughter's bedroom. I was praying and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, there's a lady downstairs. I didn't even know the lady was there. And he said, this lady's down there and I want you to go down. I want you to cut her a check for $364.13. Like, okay. So I'm like, that's pretty specific. And so I was so big in my heart, man. Like, and somebody says, what do you mean God spoke to you? I'm not saying like I heard a voice. I'm saying like on the inside, just a big impression. And somebody says, well, was that you or is that God? I don't think it would be me wanting to give $364.13 to a random stranger. I don't even know who the lady is. So it's like, that's certainly not the devil either. So with that, I go down and I get my checkbook and I cut the check. And then I walked in the kitchen where this lady's talking to my wife. I said, look, I was upstairs praying. I didn't know you were here, but I really felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to give you this. She looks at it, starts weeping. She looks at us and she says, I kid you not, my car is in the shop. I told God I needed this amount of money today to get my car out of the shop, and it is the exact amount down to the penny. Come on, somebody. God's a good God. He sees and provides. He doesn't just provide. He sees and provides. So with this, he saw her need and he made provision. Now, here's my point. This happens a lot in my life. And every time I've ever seen it happen, before it happened, it was people who came to God with that exact amount of what they needed. Every time. They all had that one thing in common. Different amounts, different figures. But they all had that testimony of after it was given, they had come to God with the exact amount of money that they needed. So here's my point. We need to trust God with specific needs. General prayers do not produce specific miracles. If you need specific miracles, you need to pray specific prayers. So here's what I mean by this. It's not just God, get me out of debt. How much debt do you have? It's not just God, can you increase my business? How much increase do you need? Like, what is it that you're exactly believing God for? God, I want more money. That's like a blind man coming to Jesus and saying, oh, have mercy on me. Do you notice in that story? He's crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus calls him forth. Mercy could be anything though. Could be forgiveness, could be healing, could be blessing. Mercy could be anything. So Jesus made him get more specific. He said, what do you want? And the man looked at Jesus and said, I want to receive my sight. Jesus made him get specific. Now, friend, in your life, I want you to get very specific to God about here's exactly what I am looking for financially. And then once you do that, I want you to begin the trust process. And trust always begins with what God has said. So find some scriptures that will build your faith and circle them in prayer. Find some scriptures that will encourage your faith and read them and pray over them. If you don't want to do this, you don't want it bad enough. If you don't want to do this, you don't want to see God's power bad enough. But friend, I'm telling you, when you come to God and you hold up his word before him and say, God, look, I trust you. You are my source. You are my good shepherd. You will bring provision. Friend, he will honor that trust each and every time. Trust is our key word. We need to trust God. When the pressure's on, it's just another opportunity to prove that God is God and his word still works. I'm not gonna panic. I'm not gonna freak out. No, this is just another opportunity to prove that God is God and his word still works. I will trust God. He is my source. Now, in most churches, you'll hear something like this, and I strongly encourage this message. I believe in it with every fiber of my being, and it has gotten us this far. Our trust is not in you. That's why we don't even pass buckets. We don't even pass buckets here. Why? Our trust is not in you. We trust God. God is our source, and he may flow through you, and I thank God he does, but friend, I'm telling you, God is the source of this church. So I believe with every fiber of my being in what I just said, but here's what I also know. It is not just a matter of us trusting God. It is also a matter of God trusting us. And friend, God loves you. Oh, he loves you. Mercy. He loves him. He loves you. I mean, he loves you with every fiber of his being. But he doesn't trust all of us the same. And Jesus came on this earth. And he showed us, if you want eternal life, you have to follow me. But if you want abundant life, you have to follow my principles. And so in this scripture, you see his life and you can follow it and become a Christian today. But you also see his teachings. And if you want abundant life, you'll have everlasting life by believing in Jesus. But you'll never have abundant life until you believe what Jesus said. And Jesus said a lot of stuff, but friends, he preached on money almost more than he preached on anything else. And he gave us some neat tips on money. And if you can understand this, and I pray that the Holy Spirit just unlocks this in your heart, because if you can understand this, friend, I'm telling you, it changes the game financially. Let's look at it here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 45. Who then, you can underline it if you desire to, is a faithful and wise servant. Faithful and wise servant. Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household. So who does the Lord make ruler over his household? Whoever has been faithful and wise. Not only that, to give them their meat in their due season. Who does God give provision to? He or she who has been faithful and wise. Verse 46, blessed is that servant, what servant? Who's been faithful and wise, whom when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Doing what? Being faithful and wise. Verse 47, verily I say unto you that he being God, shall make him, whoever's been faithful and wise, ruler over all of his goods. So Jesus says, here's how God looks at things. He gets ready to see, who can I give stuff to? I want to send provision in due season. I also want to make some people ruler over all of my goods, because all of this stuff is God's anyway. We don't own anything. We don't even own our next breath. It's God's. We are stewards of that breath. We are stewards of these bodies. I am a steward of this table. You're a steward of those clothes. This watch on my wrist, it's not my watch. It's God's watch. I'm just looking over it. He can do with it whatever he wants. It's his goods. I just maintain it. It's not mine. It's his. And with this, he says, God is looking over humanity to see who he can give stuff to. And he says, before he gives people this stuff, he's looking for two things. This is what Jesus said. This is what he taught. He said, the two things he's looking for is he's looking for someone who shows themselves to be faithful and shows themselves to be wise. He says, I need both. Now, that interests me because I honestly believe that part of this church's ministry is to help change the landscape of heaven with radical generosity. I believe that 100%, that we are called as a church to be so financially free that we help propel the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to help missionaries like nobody's business. I want to solve the fundraising problem for many of these missionaries. And with this, the only way to do that is for God to trust us, trust you, trust us, trust this church, with more and more stuff. And the only way he will do that is if we show him and I show him that we will be faithful and that we will be wise. So here's my question. It's the question that all of us better be asking, is what in the world does that look like? What in the world does wisdom look like? What in the world does faithfulness look like? And Jesus knew this was the question, so he went ahead and he answered it. You know how he answered it? He told two parables. First parable is how to be wise. The second parable is how to be faithful. The first parable is about 10 virgins who were called to a wedding. The second parable is about three servants who were entrusted with their master's goods. The parable of the virgins teaches us how to be wise. The parable of the talents teaches us how to be faithful. And Jesus followed up what he said in Matthew chapter 24 with what he said in Matthew chapter 25. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, this is how God operates, be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were, here's the key word, wise, and five of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. This is interesting. Remember what Jesus said, who is it that's going to get the master's goods? He who has been wise and who has been faithful. Okay, well, what does wisdom look like? He said, let me tell you. It's like 10 virgins who were called to go to a wedding. Now, here's how these weddings worked in these days, is that instead of doing like the big after party after the wedding, like the reception after the wedding, they would do the reception before. So you'd have this huge procession and recession after this wedding type of thing. And it's a huge celebration before the bride reaches, or the bridegroom reaches the bride. So basically, you know, here's how it went down. The bridegroom would be at his house. The bride would be at her house. And the bridegroom, when it got dark, would leave the house and begin to walk kind of like a parade over to the bride. And people would be celebrating them because there'd be this guy, you know, announcing he's about to get married before him. And it was like this huge event. The community would come out and celebrate. But they didn't want all the community at the wedding, right? So it's like the community's finding out about this in this moment because of the announcers announcing the bridegroom is coming. So people would naturally come and gather to celebrate. But the people who were called to go into the wedding had something that everybody else didn't have. You know what they had? A lamp. And the lamp would be there, and whoever had a lamp that was lit, they knew, okay, these people knew about the wedding before this moment, so they were waiting on the call versus discovering the call. And as they're waiting, when they hear the call, they join the procession. They join the celebration. They join the parade. And everyone who has this light will get into the wedding, and everyone who does not have the light, they are not getting in. They will miss out. So you got 10 virgins, they're here, they've known about the wedding, they're excited about it, and they're gonna wait on the bridegroom. So they get their lamps and they're there. But five of them are wise and five of them are foolish. The five who are wise, here's what they said. You know what? What if everything doesn't go as expected? What if everything doesn't go the way I think it will go? You know what we need? We need not only oil in our lamps, we better bring some reserve oil. We better have some margin. We better have something that is left over. We better count on, like, maybe things won't always go according to plan. So I need to look ahead and see how could it go and make sure I am, this is the key word of the parable, ready for whatever may happen. That I am ready for whatever may happen. The five who were foolish were like, psh, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And so with this, they just kept, you know, enough oil in their lamp for a minute, but didn't bring any reserve. They didn't have any margin left over. Well, the problem was, is the bridegroom delayed his coming. Instead of leaving right when it got dark, he waited to midnight. And all these ladies, they're asleep, man. It's late. This wedding should have happened a long time ago. And it hadn't happened. So they're all asleep. And then they get stirred because they hear the announcer saying, the bridegroom is coming. So they all jump to their feet. When they jump to the feet, they realize our lights have gone out. And everyone starts to panic besides the wise ones. The wise ones, they're not panicking. Why? They have margin. The wise ones, they're not upset. Why? They've got reserves. They just pour more oil in their lamps, light the thing up, and they're ready to join the procession. The ones who were foolish are like, hey, help a sister out. Like, help a sister out. Give me some of your oil. And they're like, no, we can't, because what if we give you our oil and between now and the time we actually get to the house where the bride is going to get married, our lights run out. We won't be able to get in. And so they said, here's what you need to do. You need to go buy yourself some oil. So they run out to go get some oil, but it's too late. By the time they get there, they still don't have their light, and the door has been locked, and they've missed out on this opportunity. They've missed out on what God wanted to do. They missed out on this moment that they'll never be able to get back. They missed out on it because they weren't ready. Jesus says, that's what I mean when I say, I need you to be wise. Now, here's how this works. Everyone in this room, you've got hopefully three things in operation in your life. You've got some income, you've got some expenses, and in between, you have something that is so godly. Woo! And when you got it, you feel good. And when you don't got it, you feel stressed. You got some margin. Now, income is however you make your money. It could be a retirement check or a Social Security check, or it could be, you know, a wage check, or maybe in your real estate, you sell homes, whatever it may be. But you have some income coming in. Expenses is what you have going out. So like your mortgage payment or your apartment rent or your cell phone bill or your water bill or the video game you bought or whatever it may be. This went out, this came in. Now, God's best is for you to have margin, where you have some margin in between. So at the end of the month, you have income and you have expenses, but your income was greater than your expenses, which equals your margin or what you have in reserves. Here's what he's teaching in the parable. God can help with this. God can help with income. God can give you opportunities you couldn't give yourself. God can present moments that you could never give you. God can open up doors that you could never open. God could get you in places you couldn't get into by yourself. God can help you with income, but you know what he can't help you with? He can't help you with margin. He can't help you with expenses. That's your choice. That's your choice. And we can believe God to raise this, but he says, before I raise this, I need to know, are you going to have this? Or when I raise income, are you going to raise expenses? Come on now, I'm preaching real good. He says, here's what I need to know. He's like, I need to know, right? Like, I need to know. If I give you more of this, is this just going to automatically go up? Like, this is what I need to know. Because where there is no margin, there can be no ministry. Where there is no margin, what am I going to do? Like, when I have it in your heart to, like, do, you know, something for somebody else, you know, right after this in Matthew chapter 25, you know what he says? He says, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was desolate. I didn't have a place to live and you didn't take me in. And like, whoa, when were you ever hungry and we didn't feed you? When were you ever naked and we didn't clothe you? When were you ever homeless and we didn't give you a place to stay? He said, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You know how you can do those things? When you have margin. You know when you can't do those things? You have any margin. Jesus taught another parable on this, because like I said, he preached on money a lot. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth a ton. So what happened? God made his income go through the roof. He's got more income than he's ever had before, which means he should have more margin than he's ever had before. And you know what this guy did? He's like, man, you know what? What do I do with all this income? He said, I know what I'll do. And we've never done this, but this is what this guy did. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll get me some new and better stuff. Like, I'll tear down this old barn and I'll get a new and better barn. I'll tear down this old house and I'll get a new and better house. And he said, here's what I'll do. I will take the income and I'll raise my expenses towards the income. And Jesus said he missed the whole point. The purpose of the margin was so he could be rich towards God. Because at the end of the day, what matters more than anything else is who knows Jesus. And he said, in this moment, I was creating more income to give him more margin. But instead of having more margin, he just raised his expenses to match the income. And friend, I'm telling you. Woo, man, we need to be stone cold in our faith and believe God to increase our income. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you with this. But we also need to be able to have him come in our lives and say, I trust you with this. Let me control what I can control. But you control what you can control. And he knew what people were thinking, which is why he told the next parable. He said, a lot of people I know, they're thinking, whoa, when I have more money, that's when I'll help better. Like, you increase my income and I'll have some margin. I'll have some more margin when you increase the income. So then he told this parable about faithfulness. He comes and he said, there was a certain rich man who went on to another country. This is all in Matthew chapter 25. He called unto him three servants. And to one, it says, to one servant, he gave $1,000. To another one, he gave $2,000. And to another one, he gave $5,000. So one's got $5,000, another one has $2,000, another one has one. At this point, everybody's kind of confused. They say, whoa, God, I thought you loved everyone the same. Then how come you're giving some people more money than you're giving other people? Because God doesn't give money that way. He doesn't give money based off of his love for you. You know how he gives money? Jesus says this. Watch this in verse number 15. Watch this in verse number 15, Matthew 25, 15. And to one he gave five, to another one he gave two, to another he gave one, to every man according to his what? His ability. Not God's love for him, because God loves, he loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He doesn't give to you finances based off his love for you. He gives to you finances based off of your ability to handle what he's given. Well, how would he discover ability? Why did he give that one guy five? And why did he give that other guy two? And why did he only give that other guy one? Parable plays out this way. So the guy who had five talents, the Lord came to his life. And here's what the Lord asked. What did you do with what I gave you? He didn't ask, what would you have done if I would have given you more? That's not the question. The question is what did you do with what I gave you? You know what the guy who had five talents did? He's like, come here. Come here, Lord. Oh, I can't wait to show you this. Come here. Look at what I did with what you gave me. Open up the books. Examine the records. See what I did. He was proud of it. He was excited about it. I took five and I turned it to 10. You know what Jesus said? You've been faithful. What did he say? Whoever has been wise, whoever has been faithful, that's the person I'll give my goods to. You've been faithful with that which is little. Now I'll give you even more. Okay, we had two so excited. Come here, Master. Come here. I want to show you something. Look at what I did with what you gave me. I took two and I handled it with wisdom. I took two and I made the two the best it could be. I'll be honest. I was tempted to think, why didn't he give me five like he gave the other guy five? But I took two, and I took the two you gave me, and I made it the best it could be. Took two and turned it into four. Jesus said, this guy's been faithful, and he who has been faithful with that which is little shall be made a rewarder of that which is much. Grabbed one talent. Ooh, he wasn't looking forward to seeing the master. He was not excited. He was not energetic. He was not passionate. He's like, ooh, I hope he doesn't come today. Like, I hope they just, ooh, I don't want him to see it. Ooh, don't come by here. And with this, when the master calls him, he's afraid. He doesn't want the master to see it. And the master doesn't say, what would you have done if I had given you five? That's not the question he asked any of us. What would you do if all of a sudden you had five? You know what I'd do with that amount of money? That's not the question he's going to ask you. You know what I'd do if I won the lottery, Pastor Joel? That's not the question he's going to ask you. So here's the question the Father's going to ask you. What did you do with what I gave you? First two guys, let me show you. Last guy, can you come back like next week? Can we talk a little later? And in the parable, Jesus took away the money. from the guy who was afraid and ashamed of how he had handled it and gave it to the guy who had 10. And Jesus said, this is how the kingdom of God works. Here's what I want for you. I want you to come to God and tell, I trust you. My job, it's not my source. My paycheck, not my, you, God, you are my source. You can make a way where there is no way. God, I trust you. And here's what I want you to say next. Not only do I trust you, God, come here. Look at this bank statement. Would you have handled anything differently? Come here. Look at this report. You see where this went? I took what you gave me, and I handled it with as much wisdom as I read some books, God. I came in, and I had some conversations. I talked to an advisor, and I wanted to know what's the wisest use of this money. I've been working like the Dickens to create some margin. I've been cutting some expenses. I have taken 2, and I've done my best to turn it into 4. And so, God, here's what I'm asking. Can you give me more? Because whatever you give me, I'll handle it just like that. And he would say to you, I know you will, because I've been watching you too. And what you did with it the last time is exactly what you will do with it this time. You have been faithful with that which is little. Now I will give you more. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people and the opportunity to share your word with them. And Father, I just ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to just lead us all in this area and help us, Father, with the margin. Help us with the details. Help us with what we don't see. We love you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Favorite part of the service happens right now. You can experience, no matter who you are, where you've come from, or what you've done, the unconditional, the everlasting love of Jesus. And if you're here today, you need that love, you need that mercy, you need that forgiveness. You need that change. You want to come home. Or you want to find home. Right now, this is your chance. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. But if you're here today and you say, that's me, Pastor Joel, I need Jesus. Would you lift your hand all over this place? Hands going up. Somebody says, why lift a hand? It's just a sign of surrender, saying, God, I mean business today. I want your mercy. I love it. Hands going up in every section, almost in every row. Amazing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, everybody in here, just pray this prayer with me. Just repeat it after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I believe he died on the cross for me. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. My old life, it's washed away. My new life, it's starting right now. You've forgiven me of all my mistakes, all my sins, all my transgressions. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. Help me be patient with me and make me into your image. I love you, Father, and I boldly declare my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.